Greetings, kindred witches. Welcome to the Atomic Hearth for this Sunday Haven.
Here we share our experiences as we build a modern-day inclusive witchcraft practice rooted in nature's seasons, celestial cycles, and the science of energy.
Join us as we build a practice that learns from our past, is rooted in our present, and works toward building a better future, all while connecting deeply to the earth and sky around us.
Let us begin a new era of witchcraft. Hi everyone, welcome to our grove here at the Atomic Hearth.
As always, we are so grateful for this community and for all of you for choosing to spend a portion of your day here with us.
We'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that we are currently here on the lands of the Coast Salish peoples, more specifically the Duwamish and Muckleshoot tribes. We want to take a moment here to honor the ancestors of the land on which we reside. Thank you.
Welcome to Atomic Witchcraft. In this episode, we are continuing our conversation about a water-based witchcraft practice. In part one of water witchery, we mentioned the many different flavors a water-based practice may come in. And while we did a brief overview of each path before, we're really going to dig into some of them in a bit more depth during this episode. We fully admit that these are big subjects, and there is no way we will be able to cover everything today. We have, however, divided the content into several easy-to-access episodes: States of Matter, Waterways, The Weather Front, Lunar Tides, The Cunning Path, and A Bubbling Blend.
Remember, when building a practice and knowing where to get started, the sapling watercrafts provide a foundation, and each wheel turn builds on that foundation, adding more layers, expanding out to include additional elements, and adding skills wave by wave. This eventually culminates in what we call the witch wheel turn.
In the sapling cycle, which you can check out in our sapling playlist for more specifics, we start with the basics of working with water, covering the basics of cleansing, liquid water, and of lunar cycle practices. In the fledgling cycle, cleansing work deepens, ice work sets in, working with the full moon comes into view, and we begin building potions. In ember, we explore healing magic, working with water's gaseous form as steam, and finding the new moon in our lunar workings. In the river wheel turn, skills with advanced healing, elixirs, lunar quarters, and water familiars finds its way. And then, as the wheel cycles into witch, it's about specializing and mixing to find the right path for you.
Today's dive into water witchcraft takes us to the cauldron, or pot, or French press, distiller, whatever tool you use in your path. Here we find the brew witch, elixir witch, and the potion witch. Now, many folks may lump these three into one, and honestly, there really is no agreed-upon definitions of the nuances between them. So we've crafted our own as we set out to explore three bubbling crafts. With brew, we take liquids, add our favorite ingredients, often apply heat, and make concoctions that are edible, that then we may charge or use in spell work. This brings earth and fire into a water-based practice, but not all brews have to be hot. In elixir, we add a bit of earth element and sometimes ice to make edible drinks specifically for magical intent. For example, charging ingredients as they go in with a goal that generally has some sort of magical aim. And finally, in potions, we have non-edible magical ways we mix stuff together. This might be something completely magical, such as working a spell, or more practical in nature. Think hair and skin potions. Up first, we start off with the tastiest of paths, the brew witch. Coffee, tea, soup and stews, even juices and smoothies can all be included in the concoctions crafted by the brew witch. In episode 103, The Burning Path, we cover an overview of brew as an aspect of kitchen witchery and a focus mainly on the heat element. Today, we'll expand out a bit more from there, focusing on all things liquid-based, delicious, and often magical in nature. To get started in brew witchery from a magical aspect, a focus on water, herb, root, flower, and fire crafts will be beneficial. But here you will also want to lean on some practical resources as well. Cookbooks or websites, tea blending and brewing classes, heck, even wine tastings can all play a role in this path. Also, just getting in the kitchen or behind the bar and getting creative with your broth recipe or coffee crafting is a great way to dive right in. The Brew Witch can practice this craft via several different methods. One way could be crafting a spell through making something meant to be consumed over several days and carefully selecting the ingredients to serve a purpose in this magical working. I would personally choose to make a soup for this. You can select items to include in this brew that you feel represent what you're trying to achieve or manifest, such as adding spicy chilies if you want to draw on passionate love. And as you're cooking, hold this intention in mind. Once everything is nice and tasty, consume the soup while visualizing what you want. And do this for as many days as you have leftovers. Remember, foods like this tend to get more potent over time as the ingredients sit and mingle with one another. Thus, so can the magic you're working. You can also practice brew witchery with a practical slant, picking and choosing items to produce a certain effect. Whenever I feel a cold coming on, a good juice blend of orange, carrot, ginger, turmeric, pepper, and even a little garlic really helps my immune system give a boost. Or if I need energy and fuel in the morning, a hearty smoothie whipped up in my trusty cauldron, and by that I mean blender, can really be the way to go. Of the paths we mentioned today, the Brew Witch's focus is mostly on crafting things that are meant to be enjoyed, whether they are used in spell working or not. Developing a palate and learning through trying a variety of food and drink can really help to hone in your own skills. Try pho one day and ramen another. Sure, on the surface, they're both noodle soups, but there is so much nuance in the broth and spices, how the noodles are prepared, and what accoutrement they're served with that makes them wildly different and delicious experiences. If you're someone who drinks alcohol, attending tastings is a great way to not only sharpen your palate, but often brings in that sense of smell and how that affects your whole experience. I personally love going to a new coffee shop and trying their espresso neat and with milk added, and observe the differences in flavor and texture. And speaking of, if the brew path interests you outside of witchcraft, you can always pursue it as a career as a barista, tea crafter, bartender, sommelier, beer brewer, etc., etc. I was a barista for several years and is an art that I still hold very dear to my heart and that has spilled over into my personal life. Plus, you can't convince me that coffee itself isn't magic. Brew witchery can very easily be practiced publicly and or subtly. You can craft that stew secretly to hold magical intentions for yourself, or you can gather your witchy friends and go out for tea together, hats and all. Now, for liquids that are meant to be consumed and are inherently magical in nature, we now turn to the elixir witch.
Where brewcraft is more generalized and broad encompassing of brewing and bubbling up liquids, which may or may not be magical in their aim or ingredients, an elixir witch's practice is geared toward developing and crafting drinks specifically with magical intent. This witch is constantly seeking out that key ingredient to round out their spell recipe, or perfecting a technique like infusion, fat washing, aging, or distillation even, to arrive at an elixir that's handcrafted for a specific aim and magical effect. This is a practice of intentional ingredient choice, equipment choice, and frankly, a somewhat obsessive focus on every little aspect of magical drink making. The magics an elixir witch will focus on here thus could be pretty similar to a brew witch's toolbox, but just like a concentrated tincture, they'll depend on the intent of the bev you're crafting up. This might look like selecting very specific herbs, roots, barks, stems, flowers, seeds, woods, choosing particular preparation methods and tools which connect with the intent and elements of your elixir's nature. Looking to craft a drink to offer solidifying, tenacious benefits? This might mean mixing and then freezing your mixture for a time, or working with a texture that's a little slower, more viscous. Or perhaps to craft something to offer a boost of liveliness, then simmering might be the best way to go, or even boiling. Personally, I've done work crafting bitters mixes using infusions of key herb root ingredients in alcohol. It's a patient process that takes from a few weeks to months to complete, but the result is a powerfully concentrated blend that culminates in the effect I'm looking for. Luckily, it's also something that doesn't require any particularly challenging or specialized skills. It's really just about hunting for the right elements, mindfully working with them as you set them, and then simply waiting, with the occasional good shake as the ingredients do their thing. So my advice is, if you're looking to get into elixir making and elixir witchcraft, it's really about leaning into this idea of crafting an elixir as telling a story. A story follows a series of arcs of climbing action and resting resolutions and characters to get across the intent and message of its narrative. So try thinking of each ingredient in similar ways to decide how to craft your recipe. Which ingredient is your elixir's main character? And what kind of presence should they have? This likely will be the primary goal of your elixir, which might be something like to bring peace or give confidence or clarity. Based on that, select an ingredient which has the flavor, strength, aroma, and energetic effect that aligns with that goal for you, and consider how that ingredient should then be included. Is it dried to first infuse into a tincture or extra punch, or is it gently steeped, hot, or cold? Granted, this is a world of a myriad of ingredients, techniques, and possibilities. So to get started, it might be a bit bewildering. So what I recommend is first just start looking into your local herb shops, tea shops, apothecaries, just to get a sense of what sorts of ingredients you have easy access to, or even ones that grow locally, or ones you'd like to grow yourself. And then, just like other kinds of cooking, recipe books are wonderful sources of inspiration and guidance. I've mentioned this one before, but I really like the Magically Inclined Spirits of the Other World, because not only does it offer lots of elixir recipe ideas, but also covers techniques like how to create syrups and reductions and infusions and other elements which can help anyone further develop their craft here. An elixir witch practice is a perfectly private one, if that's your preference. Magical drinks made for yourself is a focused and even meditative kind of custom that's easily self-contained. And realistically, while sharing drinks is a lovely custom the world round, sharing elixirs will likely be much less common and public by their nature. You know, these are spell-worked drinks, so they'll best be made for those aware of and interested in the magical practice involved. Using them to cast spells on folks unbeknownst to the work, the consent issues aside, which we've often mentioned on this podcast, can just lead to ineffective results and unintended consequences, with your own intent and workings potentially running conflict with those consuming of the drink. But for all the magical drafts here to be brewing, mixing, and sampling, there is also still a whole world aside to cover, which takes us to one not meant to be consumed at all, the realm of potions.
A potion witch uses the water element to concoct a variety of magical-based mixtures. The focus here is more on things we don't imbibe, and this might be anything from skin and hair products to just good old muddy mixture of herbs, water, and cinder. A potion witch uses the other elements in combination and then takes this potion mixture to include spell work, rituals, or place it on their altar. Or maybe a good hair salve before a cleansing bath. This is a great craft to embrace when you have a bunch of herbs and elements that you want to include, but aren't sure how, because we aren't imbibing this and only putting things on our skin that are safe, we can be a bit more lenient about what's in it and what's mixed together. Always remember how you will intend to use something before you make it. That way you can research to make sure all ingredients work together safely and with your skin if you do intend to apply it. Remember, chemistry is still a thing. Cleansing potions for house cleaning are real things, but remember these are chemical reactions and can actually make things go boom. Also, stay away from your poisonous stuff and know what you are allergic to here. For me, I can't do herbs in fresh form due to allergies, but dried herbs in a watery potion, I can make that work. Because this craft does involve the combination of the elements, working with fire to warm or even using spice, earth for plants and dirt, and stirring or bubbling will bring air into the cauldron, developing a base relationship among those is going to be really helpful. So is learning to embrace brew and elixir craft. They are three very closely tied paths with different applications. Also, working with water in its different states of matter is going to provide a bit more diversity into the layers and skills of this craft. This is one of those ways that pop culture and the craft actually have a bit of funny overlap. While we generally don't need to brew these in cauldrons, we can. Do be careful if you have a truly iron cauldron, as it will cause rust. Instead, I actually have some kitchen tools that are dedicated to crafting, both witch and just like normal arts and crafts, and these are what I use to make my potion concoctions. Let's get into an example. I'm looking to ease tension in a relationship that I'm having. I might make a potion filled with herbs, spices, and elements that represent a good relationship with this person. Stir with good intent, and then freeze this into an ice cube form. Anytime that relationship experiences stress, I pull out an ice cube and place it in a small bowl to melt on my altar, imagining that interpersonal tension melting away and a relationship filled with good things. It also kind of acts as a personal cooldown timer, a way to take a break from the situation and come back to it when I'm a bit more level-headed. As for resources, tips, and tricks, get creative here. Potions remind me a bit of being a kid outside after a good rain or on the shores of the stream by our house, making mud pies and reed spaghetti. It has this element of getting your hands dirty in a way that maybe isn't true of all crafts. While its root is water, it's not always going to manifest as something liquid, steamy, or even melty. Gooey, goopy, and gelatinous are frequent flying adjectives here. The goal is actually to be a bit of a safe, magical scientist. Personally, I don't generally share this craft practice with those who aren't fellow witches. Saying I am making potions has definitely gotten me a raised eyebrow or two, and the explanation is only sometimes worth the conversation, so often I keep this more of a closed practice. That being said, maybe you specialize in making skin or hair salves for a living, charging them with a bit of magical zhuzh. Certainly a way this path might make a more public appearance.
From delicious brews to magical elixirs and all the way to potent potions, Bubbling Blend offers three crafty ways to pursue a water-based path. And while we don't categorize and define things quite the same, Ash recommends Potions, Elixirs, and Brews by Anise Alexander as a great introduction to the concept of all three, as well as having a great selection of spell recipes. Whatever way you choose to brew, find the mix that's right for you.
And while some crafts may come more naturally than others, like all things, practice will always improve skill, even innate skill. That's why the elements are reoccurring themes across the Witch's Wheel cycles. It's a consistent building upon skill and relationship.
There are so many ways to lean into this aspect of a water path. And hey, if it doesn't bubble your brew, stay tuned for more episodes.
Did you know Atomic Witchcraft isn't just a podcast? It's a community. You can find us on Patreon, Discord, Facebook, and more. We are also excited to announce the return of our free virtual Zoom gatherings, our Sunday Havens, happening on the fourth Sunday of every month at noon Pacific. All this great info can be found on our Linktree. Link is in the bio. Let's be witchy together.